Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, August 22nd, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Zimbabweans speak out on Prophet Walter Magaya facing rape charges.
Spiritually, Magaya as a prophet is one of us and is doing a very splendid job in terms of turning people from the pagan world to become Christians. So we are sympathizing so greatly with him.
ZANU-PF factions clash over fielding candidates in a parliamentary by-election.
What they did is not good. Just because us as ZANU-PFs, we want the person that we chose. Just because if they rig us, it doesn't make any sense.
Opposition parties team up to protest against lack of electoral reforms while crafting a coalition ahead of the 2018 general elections.
And the Olympic Games are over as remaining Zimbabwean athletes in Brazil prepare to go back home empty-handed.
These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned.
Some Zimbabwean pastors say the law should take its course on popular prophet Walter Magaya, accused of allegedly raping a 25-year-old university student. Several pastors of various denominations told VOA Studio 7 they hope Magaya of the Prophetic Healing and Deliverance Ministries is innocent as he is viewed as a highly godly person by millions of Zimbabweans. Efforts to speak to Magaya on this issue were fruitless. He told the Independent Standard newspaper that the allegations were false. He once faced similar charges sometime last year. Prophet Magaya was brought before a Harare magistrate on Saturday, a few hours after conducting a midnight mass prayer in Harare. He was granted a $2,000 bail. One of the pastors, Joseph Baganga of the Apostolic Christian Council of Zimbabwe, tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube these are serious allegations being laid against the Minister of Religion.
Spiritually, Magaya as a prophet is one of us and is doing a very splendid job in terms of turning people from the pagan world to become Christians. So we are sympathizing so greatly with him. We are yet to find out, since the court has not yet established the authenticity of whether he is guilty or not, until he is found to be found guilty. If so, then we pray for him to say maybe a bad spirit haunted him, because he is a highly professional man. He is married to a very decent and respectable woman. He had quite a good number of projects that he was undertaking for the development of spiritual as well as social and economic development and transformation of our country. But then the truth of the matter is not yet established.
So now what are people saying, the people that you are talking to in Zimbabwe there generally, about relations between pastors and their congregants?
From a general perspective, people in Zimbabwe, some are saying when you are a spiritual person, you are a father, a religious father, and the congregants are your sons and daughters, and you must treat them accordingly. So that mutuality and respect is protected, maintained, and preserved.
And that was Pastor Joseph Baganga of the Apostolic Christian Council of Zimbabwe. We also reached Reverend Josiah Samudenda of the Zimbabwe Council of Churches, who says they are praying for Magaya and victims of rape.
It's a high-profile case, and it's a serious case. But I don't think we can judge as it is, because there are so many facets to this matter. We've heard that he has been accused of that, and it was in June 2015, last year. And the case surfaces now. But the whole matter to some of us is very sketchy, in the sense that we hear some high profile, men have actually started, for his arrest. But nevertheless, let's wait how it proceeds without prejudicing anything. As a pastor, I wouldn't quickly judge, saying he's wrong or he's right. Judgment lies with God, as far as Agaya is concerned. But it's not right. If it is true, it is not right at all. It's unacceptable. And if it is true, then he has shown that he is not a man of God, so to say. If it is true, it's not it happened.
In terms of temptations of this nature, you know, when it comes to pastors, are you not normally tempted to do some of these things?
Temptations, Gibbs, temptations are there. But temptation is not a sin. It only becomes a sin when you succumb. Temptations are there. This is why even the word of God says, count it joy in James chapter 1, verse 2. Count it joy when you fall into many temptations. Those temptations are there. But you have to be disciplined enough. I would want to put it in technically to say, have the circumcision of the heart.
And that was Reverend Josias Mudenda of the Zimbabwe Council of Churches speaking there with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Binga, Matabeleland and North Province.
Two factions of President Robert Mugabe's ruling ZANU-PF party have clashed just outside Harare in a primary election to fill a parliamentary seat left vacant following the expulsions of war veterans leader Christopher Muchangwa from the former liberation movement for allegedly undermining the authority of the president and First Lady Grace Mugabe. The two factions, said to be led by Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa and Mrs. Mugabe, nominated different candidates for the Norton by-election set for next month. Our reporter Arthur Chigoriwa reports.
Favorite candidates by Pete Somondo and Joyce Makaju, believed to be in the Generation 40 faction, allegedly led by Mrs. Mugabe, lost to Ronald Tinashe Chindedza, a member of Lacoste Group, said to be led by Mnangagwa. Chindedza polled 847 votes, Makaju got 617, and Somondo came third with 612. Other candidates that participated in the primary election include Mary Zvinavashe and Langton Mutendereki, who got 328 and 146 respectively. But it is the manner in which Chindedza won that angered the other candidates, who alleged that presiding officer Shadrach Mashaya Mombe had a hand in Chindedza's victory. Chindedza's victory at three polling stations, Brian Farm, Mutubwa and Jacktown, are being questioned by all candidates. Results at Brian Farm triggered the protest by losing candidates, as seven votes cast at the polling station were allegedly inflated to 247. Voting sheets browsed by Studio 7 also indicated that the 59 votes at Jacktown were inflated to 189. Four votes at Mutubwa were also allegedly inflated to 154 in favor of Chindedza. Somondo, who lost to former Norton Member of Parliament Christopher Muchangwa in ZANU-PF primaries in 2013, spoke through her election agent Rexon Zuze. Zuze said the election results were simple daylight robbery, adding that this is an indication that there is no democracy in the ruling party.
What they did is not good. Just because us as ZANU-PFs, we want the person that we chose. Just because if they rig us, it doesn't make any sense. A candidate is selected by the mass, and if they defy the mass and rig, there's no democracy in it. And the next elections, it will be very hard for the people to vote just because they will be discouraged. It's not that we don't want to vote for ZANU-PF in the next election.
Losing candidate Mutendereki said those who allegedly rigged the Norton primary election in Mashonaland and West Province should be disqualified and dealt with according to the ZANU-PF constitution. Zuze said it is unfortunate for residents that independent candidate Temba Muliskwa and the ZANU-PF winning candidate Chindedza do not hail from Norton.
All those people who are contesting this time, as for now, as we speak, that is Temba Muliskwa and Roni Chindedza, both they are not from this area. And it is not good for someone who is not from this area to come and rule this area just because all the resources that we are working for and all the resources that are in this community will go and support his community just because he doesn't belong to this community.
Chindedza will battle it out with Muliskwa in the by-election. Mnangagwa and Mrs. Mugabe are said to be harboring presidential ambitions, though they have in the past dismissed such allegations as unfounded. Most opposition parties are boycotting the by-election. Reporting for Studio 7 in Norton, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
Ten women facing criminal nuisance charges following their arrest during a protest outside the venue of an international cricket match earlier this month had the charges dropped after a Bulawayo magistrate acceded to their application for refusal of further remand. Our correspondent Taurai Shaba brings us more from Bulawayo.
Magistrate Batanai Tue handed down the ruling and dismissed the charges against the 10 women after the state had accepted that they had no case to answer. The 10, including Director Jenny Williams of the Women of Zimbabwe Arise, were arrested after they staged a protest at the venue of an international cricket match between Zimbabwe and New Zealand. The women, out on free bail, had applied for refusal of further remand, arguing that they had not committed any crime. They had also filed a formal complaint to the court about the conditions of the cells in which they were held, as well as the fact that they were forced to remove their underwear while in custody. Prosecutor Nkatazo Lulu had initially acceded to the dropping of the charges against 9 of the women, but had said that Williams had a case to answer, asking the court to allow him to bring more facts against the accused. But Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, Lizwe Jamela, one of the lawyers representing the women, opposed Lolo's reasoning, arguing that it was inconceivable for the court to uphold charges against Williams when her colleagues facing similar charges had been let go. Jamela also argued that the state had not directly responded to the issues raised by the accused in their application for refusal of further remand, including a formal complaint to the court about the conditions of the cells in which the women were held, as well as the fact that they were forced to remove their underwear while in custody. Magistrate Tue then ruled that charges against Williams be dropped as well and agreed with Jamela that the state could not bring new charges against her, advising that it could proceed by way of summons. Williams told Studio 7 that she was happy with the ruling.
I am elated that the magistrate saw sanity, he saw through the machinations of the state and dismissed charges against myself and my colleagues.
Jamela said while he was also happy for his clients, he was worried by the apparent unwillingness by the police and the state to uphold the provisions of the Constitution, which he said is very clear about citizens' right to demonstrate peacefully.
Inasmuch as I celebrate the ruling that was made today by the court, the problem is that does not necessarily mean that this is the end of everything. We have seen a lot of human rights activists being persecuted. And I won't be surprised to hear that Jenny has been rearrested, because it was clear that all they wanted was Jenny Williams.
Meanwhile, the Zimbabwe Christian Alliance has issued a statement condemning what it says is police abuse of citizens' rights to protest or petition those in authority. Director of the Alliance, Reverend Usenis Banda, told Studio 7 that their statement comes amid increasing reports of beatings by police of citizens staging demonstrations.
We are very much concerned about police brutality on innocent, peaceful citizens as they demonstrate. According to the Zimbabwe Constitution, Section 59, which allows every citizen the right to demonstrate and to present their petitions, this is a constitutional right for every citizen. But our we are alarmed and concerned that instead the police have taken it to themselves to brutalize the citizens.
The country has in recent months been experiencing a wave of protests against the prevailing socio-economic situation in the country, with police beating and injuring some of the protesters in the process. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shaba.
We have an important programming change announcement. Effective Monday, August 29th, 2016, Studio 7 will stop its English program. However, English news on Zimbabwe will continue to be broadcast on VOA's English to Africa programs, Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday, and Nightline Africa, Saturday and Sunday. Studio 7 will continue programming in English on Live Talk, which has been expanded to 1 full hour. You will also be able to get Zimbabwe news on our website and Facebook. We will continue broadcasting in Shona and Ndebele Monday through Friday, and on Saturday and Sunday, where we have expanded Shona and Ndebele programs to 30 minutes. For broadcast times and frequencies, please visit our website, www.voazimbabwe.com. That's www.voazimbabwe.com.
Coming up in health news this evening, we are focusing on causes, symptoms, and treatment of dementia.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump has renewed his call for the Clinton Foundation to be shut down, doubling down on his accusation the charity group represents a conflict of interest for his rival Hillary Clinton.
With the Rio Olympics over, the countdown to the Cyclotron Winter Games begins, but the organizers of the Olympics to be held in South Korea in 2018 are working to avoid the delays and organizational critics that plagued the Rio Games, while also trying to avoid the bloated budget of the 2014 Sochi Olympics.
Clinical psychologist Dr. Sekai Nyiwatiwa says family members should be on the lookout for common behavioral changes that affect senior citizens who suffer from different forms of dementia. Dr. Nyiwatiwa says the biggest symptom is forgetfulness and confusion. She says most of the aged suffering from this disease are usually in the rural areas. Dr. Nyiwatiwa tells us more on the issue.
In the elderly, usually dementia is quite common. Dementia is a degenerative process where the elderly loses his faculties, starting with memory, going on to judgment, thinking, and so forth and so forth. Until the elderly, if they continue to be alive, they may remain thinking. All the memories wiped out, maybe only left with a few years of their life that they remember.
What different types of dementias are they?
They are the congenital dementias. Usually they are caused by genetic problems. The causes are not very specific. People just assume, because they run in families, so you assume that there may be a genetic factor. There is also an environmental factor. And the elderly, when you grow old, all the systems are slowing down. So the brain may also slow down. Even if you are not dementing, you may be what we call senile. You know, these people are old, they behave in an eccentric way, and they won't be able to look after themselves very well. And they are also acquired dementias, which are caused by, one of them is called vascular dementia or multi-infant dementia, which is caused by hypertension and also diabetes. The congenital and the commonest in our setting is Alzheimer's disease. And then you have the acquired, which is a vascular dementia. You have infectious HIV, and there are other genetic congenital causes which may lead to dementia, like Huntington's chorea, Parkinson's disease, and so on.
So how do these people that have these diseases present? How can people recognize that this is what is going on, and what do they need to do when they do recognize that?
In dementia, usually it's memory problems. They know who they are. They may be aware of their surroundings, but with time that goes as well. But the first thing that goes is memory. There's memory problems. That's what people usually come with, being forgetful, and sometimes they get lost and they can't remember where they came from. They may be confused, and confusion is very common in the elderly, because anything can cause confusion. Dehydration, medication like painkillers, even medication, antipsychotics, anything can cause confusion in the elderly. So that can be a problem out in the rural areas. So people are advised to bring their relatives to hospital, let them be looked at and they get advice.
Is there any treatment for some of the dementias?
The congenital ones, there's no known treatment. But there are treatments that people do, nutritional. There are some drugs. They've not been proven. The congenital dementias usually have no treatment. But we do palliative treatment, if I may call that. Sleep deficiencies, dehydration, because when they are demented and maybe they are living alone, they become dehydrated, they become malnourished. So if you take care of those things, the patients may improve somewhat.
That was clinical psychologist Dr. Sekai Niwatiwa speaking to us from Harare.
A 13 opposition political parties under a coalition of the National Electoral Reform Agenda, or NERA, today met with other political parties under the so-called Coalition of Democrats in an effort to find each other. Transform Zimbabwe President Jacob Ngarivume says the meeting also served as a platform to officially invite CORD members to join NERA in a massive demonstration scheduled for this Friday in Harare to demand electoral reforms and that ZEC chairperson Rita Makarau relinquish either the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission or the Judicial Services Commission posts she currently holds. Ngarivume tells reporter Junga Kandemiri that they hope to work with CORD and finally form a coalition.
We had a meeting with our colleagues and partners within CORD. NERA is a coalition of 18 different political parties demanding for electoral reform. And from CORD, which is a political coalition, there are 5 political parties. And so all of us came together to discuss the demonstration that we intend to have on Friday, the 26th of August.
What have you agreed on? Have you agreed on forming a coalition or what?
Firstly, we agreed that as all the 18 plus political parties, we are going to participate in the demonstration on Friday. We are all coming together to demand for electoral reform. In any case, we realize that we have a lot of common positions as far as electoral reforms are concerned. So we then agreed as all plus political parties that came together today that yes, we should go ahead with that demonstration. That's point number one. Then the second thing is we then said, okay, there's also need for us to work together, which is what in fact the people of Zimbabwe are demanding for and calling for.
What exactly are you going to demonstrate against?
The demonstration on Friday, the 26th, seek to achieve basically electoral reform. They've been calling for electoral reform for NERA, and also in Zimbabwe, we have been calling for the leveling of the playing field. So what we are saying on Friday is that we are pushing for electoral reform. This is a common and united voice from all Zimbabweans to call for electoral reform.
And that was Transform Zimbabwe President Jacob Ngarivume on the phone from Harare with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri.
In a related development, political analysts and observers are hailing the decision by the People's Democratic Party, led by former Finance Minister Tendai Biti, to coalesce around Mrs. Joyce Mujuru's presidential candidacy in 2018. Biti's deputy Semsi Pepankomo announced at a joint rally with Mujuru in Binga on Saturday that his party was not fielding any presidential candidate, but will back the former Zimbabwe vice president who was kicked out of ZANU-PF over allegations of plotting a coup against President Mugabe. For perspective, it's Studio 7's Ntungamile Nkomo, rich political analyst Dumisani Nkomo.
I think on the part of the PDP, quite a magnanimous display. It shows political maturity and also strategy, because they might also have figured out that they stand very little chance in terms of winning the presidential election. So an alliance with Mujuru is quite strategic. However, what is actually needed is a broader alliance of all the opposition parties. They need to come together for the 2018 election and actually field one candidate for the 2018 2019 election. It may be Mujuru, it may be Tsvangirai, it may be whoever. But they need to agree on one candidate for the 2018 election. That is very imperative.
Now, factoring in Mr. Biti's support for Mrs. Mujuru, how do you see the dynamics playing out between Mr. Tsvangirai and Mrs. Mujuru?
Yeah, it's quite an interesting situation because just over 2 weeks ago, we saw Joyce Mujuru joining hands with Morgan Tsvangirai in a protest march in Gweru. So there appears to be a battle for Mujuru, as it were, to go into an alliance with Mujuru. So it's quite interesting. It will depend on who is to offer more on the table between the two. But in the interest of Zimbabwe, what is important is, as I said, a bigger, a broader alliance that goes beyond PDP, that goes beyond Mujuru, that includes the likes of Walshman Mube, Moses Mzila Ndlovu, Morgan Tsvangirai, Lavu Maduku and company. So some of them may not have political support or people support, but you need their brain.
Political analyst Dumisani Nkomo on the line from Bulawayo with Studio 7's Ntungameli Nkomo.
Meanwhile, former Vice President Joyce Mujuru's party, the Zimbabwe People First, says although it will not trouble itself much with a story that appeared in the state-controlled Sunday Mail suggesting that Mujuru was of loose morals during the Liberation War, it decries the lack of ethics shown in the story. The story has salacious details about what allegedly happened behind closed doors during the liberation struggle. The story headlined Dr. Joyce Mujuru Unmasked quotes a former war veteran George Rutanire as having told the paper that Mujuru was not a trained fighter and used his sexuality to rise through the ranks. Rutanire rubbishes the popular legend that Mujuru single-handedly brought down an enemy helicopter, alleging that the person who actually did this was her lover. The paper also quotes an unnamed war veteran, but does not make an effort to balance the story by talking to Mujuru or her surrogates. A member of the ZIMPF Information Department, Metuseli Moyo, tells Studio 7 that the party's legal department is going through the story with the intention of seeing if they can seek legal recourse.
Yes, maybe to start with, this is not surprising. It is unfortunate, but it is not surprising. It is in keeping with the tradition of ZANU-PF. Whenever they are under pressure, like they are under pressure now from Zimbabwe People First, they resort to dirty tactics. In this case, they have decided to line up, you know, or concoct a story. Yeah, the kind of story that you read in the paper. Unfortunately, you know, even when you go to the basics, to the ethics of journalism, they should have at least given the chance to respond or go to a spokesperson or to the party spokesperson. And that was not done. Clearly, the motive was to malign, was to try and portray in bad light. But fortunately, you know, the state media has a reputation for writing lies, for coming up with all sorts of stories. And very few people, you know, still take them seriously or believe the kind of things that they write. So in a way, yes, it's unfortunate, but we are not surprised at all.
Are you going to approach the Voluntary Media Council or any media watchdog to get a redress?
Yes, we are still studying the situation. Our legal department, in consultation with the relevant authorities, is going to look into the matter. At the moment, I cannot say conclusively what action we are going to take going forward. But certainly, we don't, you know, as a principle, concern ourselves so much about what the ZANU-PF controlled government press writes.
And that was Metuseli Moyo of the Zimbabwe People First Information Department. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Harare.
Stay tuned for Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. Today, our hosts Blessing Zulu and Gibbs Dube will be talking with listeners about possibilities of a possible coalition ahead of 2018 Zimbabwe general elections.
Now to recap today's top stories. ZANU-PF factions clash over fielding candidates in a parliamentary by-election.
Opposition parties team up to protest against the lack of electoral reforms while crafting a coalition ahead of the 2018 general elections.
And the Olympic Games are over as remaining Zimbabwean athletes in Brazil prepare to go back home empty-handed.
That's our broadcast this evening.
And now, please do stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntungameli Nkomo. This is Chris Gande in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.